Heavenly Father, as we enter this fourth week of Lent, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings, which remind us of your merciful heart and that you desire all of your prodigal children to return to your house. So we pray that we would be better messengers of your mercy by first and foremost recognizing our own brokenness and experiencing your gift of grace and mercy, but also eagerly desiring to share that with others and inviting them back to the celebration of being born again. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. A couple things. The Mass intention, I don't want people to think the people are deceased. Sometimes it says RIP, rest in peace, and sometimes it says INT. This was an INT and I did the RIP. So the people of the Mass is being said for today are still with us on this earth. So once at St. Brendan, somebody mentioned Father John Madigan, and everybody just assumed he had died. So after Mass, they were crying, and I said, no, it's just a Mass intention. We pray for the living and the dead. You know, so, but I don't want to make a mistake and confuse people. That's my fault. Secondly, after Mass, we are continuing selling religious goods to support the Religious Sisters of Mexico. We made quite a great collection at the last Mass. We want to offer those gifts for you as well. They're candles for Easter to be blessed, and I bless them after Mass, and then rosaries and other items that will be available after this Mass. The prodigal son is without a doubt one of my favorite parables. I think it gives us a keen insight into the very heart of God, that God is merciful. And I remember Jeff Cavins once during a teaching said, you know, this is like college. You save all your money so your kids to go to college, and then they go and party and waste it all on dissolute living. He said, this is college. Not for everyone. But I was a resident advisor, and I always, given the things I encountered during that experience for 2 years, I always think of Psalm 24, Lord, forgive me the sins of my youth. I'm sure some of those people who did various things are a little regretful now that they've grown up. But I want to talk a little bit about the mercy of God and how we can be more effective ministers of his mercy. And St. Faustina in her diary says very clearly that mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. And the truth is that we have many prodigal children in the world today. Many people are living apart from God, who don't know his love and mercy, who are just trying one thing after another and coming up with dead ends and doing things that bring destruction and ruin upon themselves and others. And they are being invited to return to the Father's house, to come to their senses and return to the Father's house. And so we want them to experience that in their lives. And so we need to be reaching out to those people like the father who ran out and greeted his son on the way back. That was uncommon and not heard of in that culture at the time. A Jewish man, especially an older one, didn't run because that was considered to be undignified. But the protocol was that the son had to come back and beg and grovel at his feet to be brought back into the household. And it was supposed to be the older brother who would bring him back to the father. I think if he met his older brother on the way back, he might not have made it back to the house, given how hardened his heart was and unforgiving. And the truth is, that second reading from Paul in Corinthians is beautiful, that if anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. And that is the joy of encountering God's mercy. We get to start over again. We're not condemned by our past mistakes. And what a joy that is when we experience that, especially in the grace and the sacrament of reconciliation. And I've seen people come out and they come in really stressed out and having a hard time talking because they're so nervous about what they're about to confess. And then they leave very different. They're breathing easier. One person recently, I feel lighter. I feel so much more joy right now after we did the absolution and did some prayers, some renunciation prayers and everything. So that is a great gift God gives us, and I explained to you that I'm going to have a couple extra times for reconciliation during the Lenten season. But also, if you ever want to make an appointment, happy to drop a meeting or something else and meet with you for reconciliation. So please know that I'm available for that. Secondly, you know, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I began to realize very soon after that experience in college that part of my faith is not just me and God and me seeking God in my life and consolations and trying to be close to him, but a huge part of our faith is sharing with other people, being a public witness to our faith for others. And so I began to try to go out and share the faith, invite people to Mass, or just offer to pray with them, and that was a big step. But I also realized, too, that the more we are intent on doing God's work, the more we're going to be a target for Satan, and the more he attacks us. And I think I shared with you a few months ago a quote from the diary of St. Faustina, Divine Mercy in My Soul, but I want to share it again because I just sense the spiritual warfare is intensifying around us. But I'll explain, so is the grace. I'll explain that a little more after I read this quote. Satan has admitted to me that I am the object of his hatred. He said that 1,000 souls do me less harm than you do when you speak of the great mercy of the Almighty One. The greatest sinners regain confidence and return to God, and I lose everything. But what is more, you persecute me personally with the unfathomable mercy of the Almighty One. I took note of the great hatred Satan has for the mercy of God. He does not want to acknowledge that God is good. So our job as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, is like Mary, to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. But the more you do that, the more threat you are to Satan and his kingdom of darkness. So he'll come after you. But as somebody said at the prayer meeting on Friday night, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And so I'm finding that, you know, some of the attacks and persecutions are ramping up, but so is the grace, and sometimes in the most unusual ways. I had something happen a few weeks ago. I shared it at the Spanish Mass. I'm not going to share it in detail now because it takes a little while, but where God had an incredible surprise in store for me when I went to another church, and I wasn't expecting it, and it totally just flabbergasted me, but it was a healing for something that happened in the past that I wasn't even aware of, where Satan was able to get a barb and cause some doubt with something in my life. And the Lord just revealed it, said, renounce it right now. And it's gone, and it's gone. But I just never expected that to happen. I was totally blown away. And to me, that's just a sign of God's goodness, that as the warfare intensifies, so the grace is going to intensify. And remember in the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter stands up and quotes Joel, in the last days I will lavish my spirit on my children. Lavish, not drip, 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 in stingy way or miserly, but I will lavish. And so if our hearts are open to this grace, we're going to get special graces and gifts to help us encounter the resistance that's naturally a part of our discipleship. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. No fear, just faith. That's what we're after. And what a joy it is when we're able to help somebody come back to the Father's house for that feast of rejoicing. They were once dead, but now they're back to life again. I mean, I get to do that in a special way as a priest, you know, in confession. But I have many lay people, friends who are lay people, who do the same thing, who meet people who they feel are oppressed or maybe self-condemning themselves for past sins and mistakes in their life, and they just testify, you know, you don't have to keep doing that. You can become a new creation in Jesus Christ. You just have to believe, experience repentance, and repentance always leads to joy. As Father Michael Scanlon used to say, repentance always leads to joy. That's why there was a party when he came back, right? Didn't go so well for the fattened calf, but hey, you know, but a party, because an encounter with God's mercy is always a celebration. And the whole reality of purgatory, so I was talking with somebody recently about this, I'll end with this, and they grew up with a real negative thing, like it's just like hell, but you get out, you know, and so the saints, sometimes they talk about it, to which they also reminded me, they haven't experienced it yet. I said, no, they haven't, so this is their idea. But let's think about this logically. If you've gone to confession and had a wonderful experience of encountering God's mercy and breathing easy again and know what it's like to get back again the joy of salvation, why would you be afraid of encountering God's mercy after you die? Do you think God just changes his nature? All of a sudden, guess what? You thought I was merciful. No, I'm not. Is you think that how God is? He's unchanging. So if purgatory is simply an extension of God's mercy for unrepented sin that we haven't taken care of, why would it be something horrible? And what kind of a witness does it give to people around us who aren't even Christian if we talk about it like that? Oh, I can't wait, right? I was in a pilgrimage site once and somebody picked up a book, How to Avoid Purgatory, and they just let out this big laugh. How to avoid it, I'm counting on it. Because most of us probably won't have everything tidied up and done by the time we die, right? Maybe I'm projecting on you my own unholiness, but I'm just guessing that maybe there's going to be some loose ends for all of us. But if you know the goodness and mercy of God, there's no fear. And this is the 1 John 4. So that you may have confidence on the day of judgment, perfect love casts out fear. And fear has not, and love has not been made perfect in one who fears, for fear has to do with punishment. And again, if we're not witnessing to the truth of God's mercy and what we just heard in the scripture reading today, the prodigal son, we're providing a false witness to God. Amen? So we want to be credible witnesses by experiencing God's mercy, celebrating it, and inviting others to experience it. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for calling us to be part of your family and inviting us yet again during this Lenten season to experience the joy of salvation. We pray for all prodigal children, for all those who have turned away from you and left, seeking things that promise so much but deliver so little. And we pray that our hearts would be attuned and sensitized to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that we be messengers of your mercy and help them out of those pits of self-despair and destruction to return to your house for a celebration that their dignity has been restored through the precious blood of your Son, and that we are children of God. See what love the Father has for us that we're called children of God. May we live that truth and invite others to it every day of our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.